Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. We're up to episode 149. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Chris, North Dakota winters are so frustrating. It seems to last until May, and we only get maybe 4 or 5 months of good weather. Right now, it's like every week we're getting 6 inches of snow dropped on us. I feel like I may as well be living in Alaska.
Well, that's the best 6 inches you're going to get. All right, in today's show, we're going to talk about the latest in free agency. We're going to talk about the NFL league meeting and what it means for us Lions fans. We got a couple of calls from our listeners, one all the way from Alaska, and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Chris, why don't polar bears eat penguins?
I have no idea.
Because they can't get the wrappers off.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, time for a couple of quick announcements. First, don't forget the live draft party on draft day. Day one of the draft, we have some amazing stuff coming for you. You guys are going to be massively impressed. Live draft party here at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Also, make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
Oh, we got the double G's. Michael, Matt, Eric, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Benjamin, Justin, John, Ross, Matthew, Morgan, Peter, Randy, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Greg, Lucas, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck the Nasty, Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Floundericious, Ryan, Zach, Gina, Miak, Malcolm, Dan, Gary, Peter Von Panda, Skylar, Mario, Lucas, Tim, Nicholas, Jesse, P. Low, Wings Fan 1, Jason, Ryan, Cameron, Paul, Taylor, Adam, Ken F, Neil, Stuck in Wildcat Blue, Nathaniel, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also want to call out our newest patrons, Lance Thomas, Troy, Jacob, Brandon, Durrell, and Brian B. from I Prevail. Check them out at iprevailband.com. And thank you, Brian, for your huge support. Make sure if you want to join the crew, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. A minimum of $1 a month gets you access to all additional special content that we put together outside of the show. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and make sure to check us out on the Twitter Cheese, the Twitter machine, at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
With no pants on.
All right. And Riz, on Twitter, where are you at?
I am wearing no pants.
All right. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you want to find us. We're there. Give us those 5-star reviews. We really, really appreciate those. And they do a lot of help for the show. So thank you, everyone who's given us those reviews. Also, if you want to get on the show, give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And let's start off with poking our listeners and giving people a good harassment at the top of the show, because that's what they need. Case was bringing it strong, and we had a pre-show conversation, kind of organic conversation. And we said, let's stop this now and bring it to the show. It's a little, I don't know if I call it rant, but let's talk about off-season hysteria by the fans, Case. It's exciting. It's this exciting time of the year. Why wouldn't you be hysterical?
It's not that it's not exciting. Although, I mean, the Lions free agency hasn't been particularly exciting, which I think, you know, feeds that mass hysteria. But this specifically came about because we signed Wesley Johnson, center from the Jets, who by, you know, some accounts was the worst starting offensive lineman in the league last year. And people freaked out on Reddit about it, like just so upset that we would bring in a player like that. But they don't stop to think when they do that. Okay. So first of all, yes, I mean, not a great player.
Don't
misunderstand here. He's not a great player, but he was a starter last year. Which means that there are likely a lot of backups in the league who were worse than him. We just didn't see them starting all year. So, I mean, you got to take that into consideration. B, there's a very slim chance, I think, at this point in time that he even makes the roster. I mean, I don't know if you'd categorize him as a full-blown camp body. He is certainly there to compete for a spot. But with chances high that the Lions will draft an offensive lineman, they've got Glasgow, they've got Dahl, they brought Wiggins in, who I think Wiggins has a better shot to make the roster than Johnson. Not that Wiggins is fantastic either, but again, we're talking about backups. And the only way we'd be in real trouble is if we had major injuries. But any team who has major injuries at a position, you know, with it would be great if we had starters in the second and third tier on our offensive line. That would be fantastic. Almost nobody in the league has that luxury. So for people to freak out and get super upset over a signing on a guy who might not even make the roster, you guys need to calm down about that kind of thing and realize that literally every team in the league is making these low tier signings and will be, you know, fleshing out their roster with them. When we get to the, you know, to the cuts, to go from, you know, 90 down to 53, or is it higher than 90 now? I don't remember. But when we get to that and these guys start, you know, managing to make the roster, then is a good time to, you know, get concerned. But until that happens, and it's unlikely that it will, you're just getting upset over nothing. Literally, you're getting upset over something that almost certainly will have no bearing on the future of the franchise.
Riz,
that's my piece on it.
Step in on Case and tell him what an idiot he is.
I'd love to, but he's right. Oh, I think it's 50-50 that Wes Johnson makes the team. He's not good, but you have to remember why. Okay, the context of why he started in New York. Nick Mangold got hurt and then retired. Yep. They didn't expect that.
Yeah,
they didn't have any other options, and he was not terrible. He was originally a Pittsburgh Steeler, wound up on their practice squad, moved into the Jets. This is a guy who played offense. He played left tackle at Vanderbilt in college at 290 pounds. He's moved inside, and it shows that he's still lightweight. I think he's going to be listed at 295, but I doubt he's that much. He's over 6'5". So that's a problem right there. This guy is a swing reserve. He played left when he was down at the Senior Bowl. He played guard more than he played center, and was all right. Wasn't anything special. This is a guy who is your eighth lineman on your depth chart. And if you're playing your eighth lineman like we did last year with Emmett Cleary and Brian Mahalik, that's a problem. But you hopefully never need to get to that. If you're
he might
worried,
be better than those guys, though. So
I will say this from watching some Jets games last year. He is better than both of those guys. He's a better pass protector than he is run blocker, which I think is more important, because if you're playing backup lineman, you know that the opposing defense is going to salivate and try to go kill Matthew Stafford. He will not get him killed. Now, he's going to get blown backwards in the run game because he's lightweight and loses leverage inside. But that's, you know, don't
if you're
worry,
down to that eighth lineman, you're not going to be there are good things you're not going to be doing well. So
exactly. This
no matter
he's
who
not
they sign
to start, he will be given a chance to compete to be the top interior reserve. That's as high as he will ever get on the Lions depth chart. And if he's higher than that, then we're not worried about all those things anyways. We're worried about,
yeah,
OK, are we going to be the number one pick or the number four pick in the draft?
if we could have Nate Solder and, you know, Travis Frederick as our backup offensive lineman, that would be
amazing. Fun.
But it just it doesn't happen in the NFL. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. So
yeah, I'll say this: having watched the Houston Texans last year, he's better than their two starting guards were last year. And both of those guys are actually the Jets just signed one of them to ostensibly replace him. And he went to the Titans. Xavier Suofilo. He's better than that guy. And that guy has more name recognition. So maybe the change of scenery will help. Maybe a different coaching staff can help coax some things out of him. We'll see. Though we've spent this much time talking about a guy who probably will never play for the Detroit Lions is kind of fun to me.
Right. are we now hysterical? Is that what you're saying, Riz?
Yes, we are.
All right, let's move on to. I don't disagree, by the way. I think you guys said it well, so I'll just let it sit at that. Looking at the Lions free agent action, it's been a huge week. I mean, this is something that seriously, I was ranting about. Sorry, I was just playing on the hysterical thing. We got two big signings this week. First, Levine Toilolo. OMG, this changes everything, right? We have no more regrets about anything we've done since free agency started.
There I got in a pretty Fells replacement right there. That's right. Exactly what he is.
Right.
He is a blocking tight end who will catch 12 passes next year.
Mm-hmm. I got in a pretty heated. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Finish. He'll be fine. He'll be fine doing that too. That's what he does. That's all you need from him. That's all he will be.
Yep. I got in a pretty heated debate with our writer Ash on the topic. He hates him. Absolutely hates him. I don't necessarily love him, but I don't necessarily hate him either. I've watched maybe a dozen. Falcons games over the last couple of years. And I do remember him in those games occasionally catching a pass. But what I also know about him from the consensus, because I've spent, plenty of time parsing through articles and reviews and ratings and et cetera, is that he is a great blocker at the tight end position. Better at run blocking than pass blocking. He did have to fill in against the Vikings as their right tackle this last year.
That's
he didn't
correct.
Necessarily have a great performance. He did give up a sack that more or less almost killed Matt Ryan. I'm not going to hold too much against a tight end filling in at right tackle, no matter how they do, to be perfectly honest.
Against the Vikings.
Right. Exactly. Against the Vikings. An important,
They might be.
We're not going to talk about them.
It's painful. I hate the idea that the Vikings are what the Vikings are right now. This is just dumb.
We're not going to talk about them right now.
Okay. No, we're not.
I don't need that in my life. he's got the huge frame. He doesn't have speed. He's never going to be a downfield receiver unless teams forget about him and leave him wide open, which has happened a few times. If you look at his highlight reels, most of his highlights come when teams just kind of forget he's on the field, which is something that could happen for us if they were creative with usage every once in a while on him, given that we have so many other threats.
Remember that Fells touchdown last year where we slipped out uncovered?
And those are the kind of things that I would expect
touchdown.
To see. Right. Those are the kind of things where I'd expect to see him, make a couple plays through the year, make a couple of touchdowns based on those kind of things. Just being lost on the defense's radar, not expecting him. So
isn't the tight end position the most important position in our offense this year, though?
Most important? Oh, yeah. well, the funny thing is, like a week ago, Quinn came out and said that I don't remember if it was Quinn or Patricia said that that tight end was the biggest need on the roster at the moment. And then they signed Toilolo. And like I said, Ash and I had a rather spirited debate. He doesn't think that Toilolo will even make the roster. I think it's probably more likely that it means that any chance of them drafting a tight end in the top three rounds is now diminished significantly.
That was never going to happen anyways.
Right. I don't think it was either. But every year, the same thing happened last year when Bob Quinn said that tight end was a big need. Everybody started thinking we were taking Njoku, and maybe that was a guy on the radar. I don't know. But it ultimately didn't end up happening, and we got Roberts in the fourth. I wouldn't be shocked to see them draft a late tight end, although I don't think they necessarily have an interest in trying to supplant any of the guys currently on the roster this year, which would make it seem to me like it's more likely to be a seventh round pick or a UDFA that they can stash on the practice squad without having to worry about losing him, would be my thought on it. But
yeah, and there's plenty of those guys this year. Toy Lolo signed a 1-year deal, $2 million. I don't think any of it's guaranteed. It might be. I don't have the details in front of me. The NFLPA hasn't updated it yet. But that's not a massive hit. Although with the cap room that the Lions do have, that is a commitment to him that does indicate they expect him to make the team and contribute some. But this is your third or second tight end. This is a guy who's going to get 15 targets next year. Maybe it's not an earth-shattering thing. It's not fundamentally altering the Detroit Lions in any way. It's making them better in a place where they were weak. I don't understand why people are upset about that.
Here's what it's doing. It's keeping Matthew Stafford off his ass when we play Minnesota twice this year. He's got experience there, right?
Yep.
It's going to help.
That's right.
It's definitely going to help. And
he's a better blocker than Fels.
He's played well in the playoffs before too, and that seems to kind of be the goal for the Lions.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of concern about that. We just got to get the regular season down first.
I'm still firmly in the belief that this team's making the playoffs next year.
I wish I completely agreed. We'll see what happens. I'm not entirely off the boat there. Just not entirely on it either.
You want to do pre-draft predictions on the final
not
record?
Right now.
No, go ahead. We'll start with
I think 8-8 is where I'm sitting, but I want to go back a second, because I think Chris hinted at, you know, what I think I've said the past couple weeks here, that I don't think the tight end is going to be a huge priority for this offense at all. I'm not expecting any of these tight ends to be like to put up massive production numbers, because they don't need to. We have the strength at wide receiver now. We have, you know, we have one of the best 1-2-3-4 combos at wide receiver in the league. There aren't a lot of teams that have a third wide receiver as good as the ceiling on Galladay is. Now, of course, he has to live up to that, and that, you know, we'll see if that happens.
And all that stuff. Yep.
Right. And stay healthy and all that stuff. But as I've mentioned before, TJ Jones might be the best or one of the very best number four wide receivers in the league as well. So it's not like we are short on receivers. So with that eye on tight ends, they didn't need to focus too heavily on bringing in top tier talent at the position right now. I mean, obviously it'd be great if you ended up with, you know, a top tier guy that you drafted or something like that. But they didn't have the money to try to fix something that really probably doesn't need to be a focus of the offense this particular year.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I think it's going to be different and it's going to be fine. And what's your prediction for the end of the year pre-draft season-ending record prediction, Riz? Where are you at on that?
11-5, baby.
Woo! Okay.
Why not?
I'm at an honest 10-6. So just that was fun.
There you go.
To put that.
Can I say one last thing about Toy Lolo?
I want you to. So please.
That harkens back to his draft time. Okay, he's like 6'7" and change. His arms are 34 inches long, and everybody talked about, oh, that's a great length. If you're 6'7" and you have 34 inch arms, those are like T-Rex arms. That's short. I hated that, and it's still a pet peeve of mine. I want to make people aware of it. Thank you very much.
No problem. But that's 6'7", that height gives you a little bit of cushion on your arm length.
Yes, it does.
All right, so let's move through the hysteria piece again and talk about, well, I don't think we need to talk about the Wesley Johnson pick, but just that we did get him. Look for him as your number one all-star, as we said earlier, and we'll see what goes from there. Okay, so rules changes. The league flipped the script on a couple of things here. We want to go through those for everybody. The first one, and I think likely the most controversial, I've seen the controversy from players. Twitter was on fire about it. Players, writers, you name it. Everybody's kind of like, what in the heck? It's the targeting rule. And we've seen how excellently the NCAA has been able to implement their targeting rule at the college level. It was nice to see this wide open mess kind of get passed, wasn't it, Riz?
No, I actually agree with it. I like the rule. I know I'm in the minority on. I like the rule. I don't like the way that it's going to get enforced or the mechanism for which they have not put in place yet to get it enforced.
I gotta ask you really quick. Did you just make me in favor of CTE?
Yes.
Am I saying it that way?
Yes, I did.
Let me. I want to say that I actually agree with the intent of the rule, the spirit of the rule.
Yeah.
The spirit of the
rule is to keep Ryan Shazier from killing himself on the field again.
100%.
And that is a good thing. And there's so many players who lower their head to make contact. DJ Swearinger is a guy who's notorious for it. There are guys who are knocking themselves out and impacting their lives very negatively for their post-football life and ending their football careers by doing this. I watched CJ Fedorowicz do it last year with the Houston Texans. He had to retire now. Very good tight end. He lowered his head to block a guy, got his bell rung for the third time in a year, and he's out in for the rest of his football career is over. They're trying to stop that. That's a positive. The problem is that they're going to be selective enforcement on this because we see it in college. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other problem that I have with it is it's going to take forever because it's a subjective rule. They're going to call New York. New York's going to be like, well, I don't know. You know, he had his head up and then he dropped it, or his helmet slid up after he made impact with the shoulder pad. Those types of subjective enforcement things are going to be a problem, and we're going to argue about it the way we've argued about the catch rule, which we'll talk about in a bit.
And I mean, it's like holding calls. There's going to be hits that could be called every game that don't get called. And people are going to be upset about it. I think it was a poor implementation, good intent, poor execution. So,
and let me ask, because the inevitable piece is this going to be valid hysteria when they miss these calls, or is it going to be versus what? And then at times when they make them, because this is going to have game altering effects. And
yeah, it's going to end up lopsiding some game, and that's going to be fucked up for, you know, the team that ends up on the wrong side of it. That sucks. I hate that.
That's valid hysteria then on that. Because I agree. Well,
I think we have to see how it's going to get officiated. Yeah, you're right.
I shouldn't jump to
conclusions. Officials have to learn to see
how it actually works out. I just
right.
I just feel like we've seen how faith. They did it. And, right. and I know the rule's different. I just feel we've seen how they did it at the college level, and we've seen just wild inconsistencies on other subjective rules from the refs. I don't know why we would expect it to be different. That's kind of where my head's at. Maybe it will be. Maybe it will be, and maybe there's no reason for – I love the word today. Today's the word of the show is hysteria. But it's the preseason hysteria.
Jeff Leppard in the background.
Oh, let me go find some. maybe it's warranted. Maybe it's not. Didn't but based my, on
– Pee Wee Herman impression? Is that what's happening here?
Just keep it in your pants. I just don't have faith, and you're right. Maybe we'll have to see how it goes, but we've seen how so many other things go and how they work here. I just don't feel like they're going to do a good job with it.
There's what the goal of this is to teach the players to learn to tackle better, to not drop your head, to not drop your eyes. And that's something that Chris Spielman made this point. I heard him on a radio show, and he also made it on Twitter, talking about how this will teach people better tackling habits. And his contention was, and I agree with him, is that it's going to be tough for the players who are in the league now. But the players that are coming up through college and through high school where this has been a rule.
Yeah, the heads.
They really are doing a better job of it. They're not getting as many of these as they thought they would and as what they used to. And that's a good thing. And it's going to take some time for the players to cycle out of the NFL because it will be hard for players who drop their heads all the time. Oh, by the way, LeGarrette Blount is going to get guilty of this at least once next year because he loves to lead with his head. When he's going through the hole, he's lowering his head and using it as a battering ram.
This is particularly difficult.
But it's stupid.
It's particularly difficult for running backs, though, right? Because they try to get low to the ground.
Didn't they technically? a couple of years ago for running backs to lead with their helmet through the line or something like that. I don't remember. I seem to remember there being something about that.
Well, I've never seen anything called on it. I've watched that you think about the protecting the wide receivers and some of the other helmet to helmet calls. I've watched running backs without any concern for their own lives or futures lower their head and run through the line all the time. I think it's particularly difficult for that position though, and how they treat it around the running back is going to be the piece, because they try to get low to the ground, and the way you get low to the ground is not lifting your head up, right? And if you pull your head up while you're running low to the ground, it's a great way to get your head snapped back as you're trying to break through a line. So I'm a little bit concerned about how that's going to play out for running backs.
If you're running back and you're looking at the ground instead of the hole, you're probably not going to be in the NFL all that long anyway.
Well,
this could be a good thing for Zach Zenner because he runs upright. He's not going to get called for this.
No calls on eight plays.
He will never get called for that. That's
true. No calls on eight plays. Thanks, Zach. All right. Anyway, let's keep going. Next rule, the catch rule. Are you guys familiar that there was a catch rule? Did you know that there's a little controversy around this?
I think we all had a very good idea of what a catch was not.
So it's been updated.
It involved Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant. It was not a catch.
Well, now it is a catch, and the Lions are, 7-9? They updated the record as a result of the Calvin Johnson catch. Passed unanimously. Case, what do you think the effect in the league is going to be?
I don't have a problem with it. As we discussed last week with Blandino, and as I think we've discussed in the past with Riz, the problem is just that they're writing the rule to adjust to some specific situations, while there could be unforeseen consequences on plays that they didn't think about. I don't know that it's going to eliminate the controversy. My only concern is that it will make it even more hard for fans that even a higher percentage of fans are now going to throw their hands up and say, "No, I don't get it, because the guys on the TV are telling me they don't get it. Why should I get it? Why should the NFL be doing it?" So that's my only concern. I'm not necessarily against the idea of the things they changed. I just worry that it's not really solving anything. Just I don't see it as a huge impact. Or I shouldn't say that. I mean, it will have an impact. There are going to be several plays, possibly a few games, decided by the new rule. But I just don't know that it's like, I don't necessarily have a huge positive or negative feeling towards the change.
Well, I heard Riz after it was passed. We caught him in the hallway.
There's a bullshit.
Screaming like crazy.
My guy.
I put him on there because you love him so much, Riz.
I do.
I love that guy. Anything to add about the catch rule, man?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how quickly the officials adapt to this one, because the officials did not like the old rule at all, because there was so much unclarity in what was going to happen. Now, if they see it and think it's a catch, they're going to be a lot more confident in declaring it a catch. And I think that's a good thing. It makes this job for the officials easier, I think. And I think that's a good thing for football if we have less stoppages about it. One thing that I did hear this, and I forget where the discussion was, but there was a talk about the Golden Tate play at the end of the Atlanta game. And one of the ramifications of this rule is that he would have been down and it would have been reviewed, and the Lions would not have lost that game, because the mechanism now has changed where that would have been, you know, automatically reviewed as a catch rather than was he down, was he not down, that type of thing. So this could have given us an extra win last year.
So the record will be updated to show that we made the playoffs last year. Excellent.
Real quick before we move on, the one thing that bothered me, I think, about this was, I don't know how, there's one bugaboo amongst Bears fans about this last year. It's that the Zach Miller catch was not ruled a touchdown on review.
That's right.
I think it was the guy who replaced Blandino, and I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but I think it's
El Rivieron.
Yes, that's the guy. Came out and said that would have been a touchdown, but I actually think he's confusing the issue and making it even more complicated, because the reason that that was called down on review was not because the ball came loose as he, at least as it was explained by the referees. This has created mass confusion because there's a lot of people who think that it was called an incompletion because as he rolled over, then later on the ball came out. But what the referees said happened was that the ball came loose before he rolled over. As he was going to the turf, the ball came loose. Now there was not a good video replay angle on it because every good, you know, angle had somebody's back in front of the ball. So I don't necessarily think that it should have been turned over because there wasn't definitive evidence, but the reason it was turned over had nothing to do in my mind at all with the new rule. But that gets pretty like I argue with a lot of Bears fans, so that's just
they're an argumentative lot.
And happens as am I. Sausages stuck in the truck. Okay, so let's move on to defensive pass interference. Rule didn't change, although it was tabled till next month. Is this still on the menu, Riz?
It is, and I do think it will change in time. I don't know if they'll change it in May or not. This is something that a lot of teams have questioned about. Jim Schwartz is one of the guys who was actually behind this back in Detroit. When he was on the competition committee, he brought this up. So yeah, it's been around for a long time, this idea of putting stages into the pass interference. If it's more than 25 yards down the field, it's not a spot foul anymore. If it's up to that, it would be. If it's an if it's an obvious intent to interfere, where like a guy, let's say Nevin Lawson gets beat over the top and he tackles a guy, then that would be marked as a spot foul. But if it's like incidental, where, you know, like the guy reaches up and you know, gets his hand there early while he's making a play for the ball, which happens a lot, that's the majority of pass interference calls, then it's just a 15-yard cap. And I like that idea, and I hope that it does get put in soon, because the cheap shots down the field, Aaron Rodgers is great at this. Throw the ball up and get a call when you're at home because you're Aaron Rodgers and you get the calls. That happens way too often, and it needs to stop. It fundamentally alters games more than it should.
Yep, I completely agree. Absolutely. And I do think that it's an inevitable change now that the media and fans have really latched onto it. I think that does have an impact long term. It's going to take a few more moments where it should have been called different. You're waiting to see, you know, something bad happen that's going to impact the change. But I mean, that's likely what's going to happen. So as long as a player like Aaron Rodgers can get away with it, he's going to, but ultimately he's going to be the reason that the rule does change. So,
yeah. Hold on. I've got something coming in, from the home office. It sounds like Case, you have been disqualified. You're now ejected from the podcast. It just came in. Has to do with the rule from
bullshit.
It has to do, obviously, with the rule change from about ejection and the call coming from New York during the game. If we see some shenanigans, we'll come and we'll pull you out of the game. I can see two sides to this. I can see it working well for, like we talked about with Blandino on the Gronk play. I can see this being a real anchor around the flow and speed of the game, too. What do you guys think?
Well, see, I think this is something that they can do. Like, they don't have to stop the game to do this. This is something where they can call in later and like, hey, throw Gronk out for what he did.
Right? Yeah, but the whole process of doing that and then the evolving argument from the coach, and it's going to delay the game. I mean, it's just the way it's going to work in practice, I believe.
I'm not concerned about that until it actually happens. I think, as we talked about last week, we're talking about, you know, four or five plays a year probably that this impacts, and guys who should get ejected. And the other thing that slows down games is when teams get like up in each other's face after every single down and that kind of thing. And if you eliminate, you know, a guy from the game who's, yeah, but I mean, if you eliminate the guy who's like the reason that spark has been instigated, you know, some games get chippier than others. And a lot of times it's because something like what Gronk did that pisses off the other team. And then they want to, you know, get into it with him every down. If that guy is out of the game, then you don't have to worry about that.
as much. Devontae's perfect rule.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yep.
And he's already suspended, though, so it's not on him.
Until the week before Pittsburgh, right?
That's right. That's of course, we'll be back for the Pittsburgh game. And that could be the first time that we see this rule implemented, too. Wouldn't
I hope
surprise
so.
Me at all.
I just feel like they do that for ratings. It's on purpose, I swear to God. But no, you're right about, and that's a great point about the number of games that it will affect. So hopefully it will be small. And they like any of these, if you see them swinging too wildly to the fences with any of these rules, they could really screw them up. So hopefully a little bit of temperance in the ejection and disqualification from New York. That'd be great. All right, let's talk about this one. This is a huge game changer. This is one that hits every game, every week. The requirement that the extra point is kicked after a walk-off touchdown in overtime.
Or in regulation.
In regulation. They're ruining the game, Case. This is just the destruction of the nature and the spirit of the game of football. I can't wait until the XFL is back. Is that where we're at here?
There were a couple of games, I think, this last year. I don't remember specifically which ones, but I do remember watching them where the team had won in regulation. They'd scored with 0 seconds left on the clock, and yet they were forced to trot out there. After everyone's celebrating, after people are on the field, it takes them, 10, 15 minutes. You want to talk about slowing a game down. to have to recalibrate everything after they already are celebrating their win to get them out on the field to run a token play. I don't remember if it was it was maybe the Falcons or something like that, who didn't even bother kicking one. They just kneeled on.
Well, maybe if these players and coaches knew the rules, a la
yeah,
Jim
well,
Schwartz.
That's the Jim Schwartz. Learn the fucking rules.
So Riz, have they basically existentially changed the nature of football? Is this going to be a watchable game anymore as a result of this?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Very minor change, but probably just one of those things that kind of you appreciate from an efficiency and I want things to run smoothly kind of way. It just makes absolute sense.
And let's face it, as the comeback memes have stated, when you have a team like the Lions who get those last minute wins a lot, you just want to celebrate. You just want to enjoy the moment. Nothing changes with that kick. So it makes sense. It lets you just kind of keep the flow of the win and enjoy it. And lets the people who want to kick the TV or change the channel to do that as well, with knowing
plus it adds a little more drama to fantasy games, because if you're losing by a point and your kicker doesn't get to kick that field goal, that extra point, you're fucked.
I mean, I think that's what Blandino said. These laws were made with the thoughts of fantasy in mind. So, all right. So here's one that. It definitely affected the Colts. It could have affected the Lions. Allowing teams to hire a head coach who's in the midst of a playoff run. And we know about McDaniels. We know about the fact that the Colts announced the signing of their new coach, Coach McDaniels. And then shortly after, the Patriots announcing that they re-signed him back in New England. And that was kind of a messy mess there, but it could have affected us if they tried to pull that with Patricia as well. And nothing changed here. And where this rule is for me is just to allow these guys to get started. Like with Patricia, we sat around for 2.5 weeks knowing he was going to be our coach, but the organization was really had its hands tied in some of the things it could do in getting ready. And we wound up with, less time than the rest of the teams because we hired a coach from one of the top two teams in the league at the time. So, Riz, what do you think about this rule? So, number one, about it not changing. Number two, should it change?
I was disappointed that it got tabled. I think it is a rule that needs to be implemented. It happens in college football all the time. They hire a coach who's coaching a bowl game, and he moves to a different team. You obviously expect your coordinators or your position coaches, whatever, to be from the Super Bowl teams to be hot candidates or from, teams that are going deep on playoff runs. That's what happens every year. It's stupid that they're not acknowledging that this happens and that it's not a problem, because it is a problem. And it's the Colts are a great example of it this year. They wanted Josh McDaniels. They couldn't formally negotiate with him. And he wound
up
leaving
him at the altar. But they got a verbal agreement.
Well, yeah, verbal contracts are worth what my salary for this podcast are. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, that's some that's some coin right there.
$1 million.
$1 million. Yes. So, and the fact that they are spiteful enough to keep ruining it for everybody else, it shows why the Colts aren't going to be the worst team in the league, even if Andrew Luck is back. They're terrible, folks.
They bet do on the under poorly, right? I mean, they do everything poorly.
Don't get me started on the Colts. This rule needs to pass. That it didn't pass because of Chris Ballard as the Colts GM is even more reason why it should pass, because that guy is in so far over his head.
Yeah. Yeah. My issue with it as it stands is just that we sit in this gray area because they used to be a lot stricter in terms of not allowing, you know, any negotiating at all. And the same with free agency. And now they've, you know, adopted the legal tampering period, although I think that actually makes sense. This does not, because you're stuck in a gray area where you can negotiate with guys verbally or whatever. You can bring them in for visits, but you can't officially sign anything. It creates too much situation for something like what happened to the Colts to happen to anyone, and it could happen to anyone, and then that team is completely fucked. And the guys who've quit their jobs because they think they're going to the Colts to coach, to be an assistant coach for, you know, Josh McDaniels, those are the guys who really, really lose out because they've quit their jobs because they have an expectation, and then he changes his mind, and it cascades down the line and changes that many people's lives. It's not okay. It's just not okay to do that to people. And so fuck Josh McDaniels, first of all, but also the rule is stupid. Either you can sign them or you can't have any contact with them at all. I don't understand why we have to sit in the middle area here.
Yeah. So Josh McDaniels, it looks like it was a pretty classless move, but let's not absolve the wonderful Colts organization of any responsibility for making an announcement based on a verbal agreement.
What happened? I don't. There were no like golden boy in this situation. Everybody was a loser.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So let's we'll move on. We got two calls we want to get to from the line.
Can I break some news real fast? Right. As we're recording this, the Cleveland Browns have just signed former Green Bay Packers wide receiver Jeff Janis. Janis Christ, no longer a problem for the Lions.
Wow. I'm going to move the Browns up on my my Super Bowl contender list now.
I'm working on my power rankings, by the way. It should be out in a couple weeks.
Okay. Like we talked about before, I dropped a couple Browns too, Riz.
He had a lot of toilet paper.
Well, they were O-linemen, let's put it that way. All right, look, a couple calls came in on the Lions line this week. Let's take those. The first one has, somebody's got an idea for a rules change, guys. What do you think?
Hey, guys. I have an overtime idea, and I want to throw it out there and see what you guys think. Currently, the overtime system in the NFL sucks. It's 10 minutes, both teams are guaranteed the ball. It's just like begging for ties, and I don't think ties have any place in the NFL. So here's the proposal. It's very simple. There's two components to this. It's very, very simple. Number one, go back to sudden death overtime. Mm-hmm. And number two, here's the fun part. No punting allowed in overtime. Think about that. Let's hear your thoughts. Oh, and if you like it, you think this is a good idea that would enhance the game, I'm hoping maybe you'll mention it to Dean Blandino and anybody else who has some connections with the NFL that can maybe get that idea floated out there. Maybe get it considered one of these years. Let's hear your thoughts.
I like the idea of no punting. I think that adds a whole new dynamic, although you just turn into the long throw for an interception and then they'll drop it, right? it does add an interesting twist to the game. What do you guys think of our OT idea? Riz?
I don't think there should be overtime. I think the game should end in a tie. I don't like overtime at all. Oh, if you can't win in regulation, don't give them more time.
Even hockey doesn't want to end in ties. They have shootouts at the end, and you're okay.
See, to me, overtime tends to be like the most exciting like situation that can happen. So I don't know that I agree in terms of like my like enjoyment of games kind of situation. I don't think I agree. I do disagree with him about going back to sudden death. I did think that because the coin flip situation I thought was, you know, that was such a huge.
We're taking the win.
I was just going to say, can we offer immediate execution for any coach that says he's going to take the win?
Yeah. No, I'm against that part. The no punting thing sounds great. I'm down. Yeah,
I do like that wrinkle. That's kind of cool. Make them go for it. It changes what you would choose to do. What if you have a great offense, if you have a great defense, would you take defense first so you get better field position? That's an interesting wrinkle. I'd like to see that explored.
It's kind of like the 4-on-4 in hockey in overtime, right? Open the ice up, let things move a little faster. I like that as well. The no punting thing really strikes me as something exciting and fun. All right, so we'll bring that up to Blandino, and we'll see. Actually, we'll do that next time we have him on, which is not too long away. Let's hit the second call. We have another call here, and this one's kind of fun.
Hey, this is Jared from up in Alaska. I was just calling just to say hi. I've been listening to the show for a little over a year now. I haven't really been into football growing up, but decided to start following the Lions as I was born in Detroit, got a lot of family out in Michigan, and just wanted to say that I really appreciate the show and really enjoyed listening to it week by week. It's by far my most anticipated media that I get to listen to on my drives from the middle of nowhere to Eskimo land. That's up in Alaska, right? Hey, if you guys ever want to visit, you should give me a ring. My name is Garrett. We can go hunt some penguins. All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much. I love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
No,
sounds like a plan.
The hardest part about hunting penguins in Alaska is sneaking into the zoo.
Yeah.
Who's up? You guys want to bundle up and go for a trip?
Maybe we'll run into Bristol Palin.
Take a look.
I don't mean that as a euphemism either.
Take a look at Russia. Shoot some penguins up at the zoo. It'd be a good time. Awesome. Thanks so much for the call. All right. Really quick, guys. Remember, as you're going about your daily life and you're buying things, because we're all consumers, you have to live in a consumer world to even be anybody. Let's face it. So before you buy anything, come to Detroit Lions Podcast to use that shop link and use that to take you to Amazon to get your daily living goods. Some of you are even in the Amazon Fresh Zone. There's nothing nicer than getting produce delivered to your door. But anything else you want to buy. Fanatics, where you get all of your official sporting merch. You got your Final Four Wolverines. You want to get some big stuff? It's the way to go. Head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that link. Getting your Lions gear, getting anything else, it's the way to do it. So also, if you're going to go to any kind of event, concert, sporting event, the theater, anything like that, hit up DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that SeatGeek link and use that to get those tickets. All three of these are guys that say, you know, you got these clients, these customers, they came from Chris and Case, and even the Riz was there pushing people along, and they give us a little kickback. It doesn't cost you more, but it's a great way to support the show by doing something you're going to do anyway. Everybody doing those things, remembering us when you go out shopping, we appreciate it. We don't do much in the way of ads, but this is the one we hit every week because this is one to help us out a lot. All right, we'll move forward now to end the show. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us the feedback. And let us have it. We love it. We make the show better thanks to you guys. We learned how to say LeGarrette Blount this last week, didn't we, Case?
Yeah, we did. We certainly did learn how to say LeGarrette Blount. I'm still not sure I'm saying it right.
It is not Blount. They were very clear. There's a couple of pictures to go with it in the feedback. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. That's the other great way to help the show out, and we appreciate all of you folks that have joined. You can get on board for as little as $1 a month, and as much as you want to give. We appreciate all our patrons and everyone that helps support the show and what we do here. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter so you can see Case doing the things you just heard at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. Hey, so what's going on over there, man?
I'm messing with this hysteria machine.
Oh, got it. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so Case, Riz, and I can all come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
I'm wearing no pants.